There are times of loss and times of reversal that all must experience. After Job had lost all of his wealth and even his 10 children in one utterly devastating day, he said in Job 1:21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Jesus speaks these words to his sheep in the time of trouble. Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Transferal of trouble to a very real supernatural solution is an ability that the childlike in Christ possess. This is not a matter of positive thinking, but rather positive believing. When a child of faith calls out unto God in the time of trouble, supernatural input is introduced by God into the situation. When the children of Israel were escaping the bondage of Egypt in their exodus through the Red Sea, the Egyptian army, led by Pharaoh's charioteers, were in hot pursuit. The angel of the Lord knocked off the chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. Our God intercedes in the affairs of men on a very daily and even physical basis, and the children of faith know it right well. 1 John 2:1-2, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Would you like to know this God and his Christ that intercedes in the affairs of men? This Holy Communion begins at a place Jesus calls born again. You can enter into this most glorious place today, right now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. We'll wait for you here. Now for today's subject. God said, Isaiah 26:1-2, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." God said, Isaiah 26:9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." God said, Isaiah 26:20-21, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." Man said, "America is not a Christian nation." Now the record. The President of the United States, as of this writing, October 18, 2012, is Barack Obama, who stood on the world stage and proclaimed to the inhabitants of the earth that the United States is not a Christian nation, to the shock and dismay of Christians everywhere. If the President meant that the United States has gradually turned its back on Christ and his Bible, few would disagree, but that was not his meaning. Is the United States of America a Christian nation? The following foundational information is from the God Said, Man Said feature, In Jesus' Name. It's such a huge shock to the ungodly. According to a recent ABC News poll, 60% of Americans believe that God created the earth in 6 literal days. Pseudoscience is beside itself. How can this be? After over a century of being bombarded relentlessly by the universities, professors, textbook publishers, the general media, Hollywood, and more, America still believes. The very root of America, from its very discovery, is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and he still has strong roots in this fair land. In 1492, the Americas were discovered by a devout Christian named Christopher Columbus. His name, Christopher, means Christ-bearer. Brother Columbus said that he was inspired and motivated by the Old Testament Bible book of Isaiah. King James I of England was the founding monarch of the United States. In 1606, he wrote the Evangelical Charter, which was designed to settle the colony of Virginia. Part of the charter read, "To make habitation, and to deduce a colony of sundry of our people into that part of America, commonly called Virginia, and propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness, to bring settled and quiet government," end of quote. Pilgrim pastor John Robinson wrote the following letter in 1620 to the Mayflower Pilgrims. "Thus this holy army of saints is marshaled here on earth by these officers under the conduct of their glorious Emperor Christ. Thus it marches in this most heavenly order and gracious array against all enemies, both bodily and ghostly, peaceable in itself as Jerusalem, terrible to the enemy as an army with banners, triumphing over their tyranny with patience, their cruelty with meekness, and over death itself with dying. Thus through the blood of that spotless Lamb and that word of their testimony, they are more than conquerors, bruising the head of the serpent. Yea, through the power of his word, they have power to cast down Satan like lightning, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, to cast down strongholds and everything that exalteth itself against God." End of quote. 123 of America's first 126 colleges were founded on Jesus Christ. Princeton University, founded in 1746, originally called the College of New Jersey, was headed by Reverend John Dickinson, who said, "Cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." The Americas were discovered in Jesus' name. The United States was colonized in Jesus' name. Her governments were established in Jesus' name, and America's people were educated in Jesus' name. The glorious blessings of God have been bestowed upon this land in Jesus' name. Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." End of quote. Americans learn to read in many cases with the Bible as their textbook. Is America a Christian nation? Even as late as the 1950s, the public school day began with Pledge of Allegiance, classroom prayer, and the reading of the Bible. J.C. Fela, author of the book God Blessed America, chronicled many writings of the U.S. presidents. The first seven presidents of this great nation follow. George Washington, first president of the United States, 1789 to 1797. "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Regularly on awakening, Washington spent the time from 5 until 6 in the morning on his knees before a chair on which lay an open Bible. He retired every evening at 9 o'clock at the same study, to the same chair, to the same open Bible. John Adams, second president of the United States of America, 1797 to 1801. "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And what were those general principles? The general principles of Christianity. Now I will avow that I then believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as essential and immutable as the existence attributed of God, and that those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system." Concerning the third president of the United States, the author writes, "Even more fascinating that within a year of his inauguration, Thomas Jefferson, who recommended that there exist a wall of separation between the church and state, and that government not impose or require a mandatory singular church upon the citizenry, began attending church services in the House of Representatives. Through his presidency, 1801 to 1809, he permitted church services in the executive branch buildings because they were non-discriminatory and voluntary. Jefferson's concern for a separation regarded the opposition to an official state-sponsored church rather than excluding religion from government. In his inaugural address, he said, "I shall need, too, the favor of that being in whose hands we are, who led our fathers as Israel of old from their native land and planted them in a country flowing with all the necessities and comforts of life, who has covered our infancy with his providence, and our riper years with his wisdom and power, and to whose goodness I ask you to join in supplications with me, that he will so enlighten the minds of your servants, guide their counsels, and prosper their measures. James Madison, 4th President of the United States of America, 1809 to 1817. Before any man can be considered a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the governor of the universe, the Creator. In his 1815 Thanksgiving Day proclamation, Madison stated, "No people ought to feel greater obligation to celebrate the goodness of the great disposer of the events of the destiny of nations than the people of the United States. And so to the same divine author of every good and perfect gift, we are indebted for all those privileges and advantages, religious as well as civil, which are so richly enjoyed in this favored land." James Monroe, 5th President of the United States of America, 1817 to 1825. "I enter on the trust to which I have been called by the suffrage of my fellow citizens with my fervent prayers to the Almighty, that he will be graciously pleased to continue to us that protection which he has already so conspicuously displayed in our favor." John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States of America. "The first and only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others, to be treated at all ages and in all conditions of human life, not to be read once or twice through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions of one or two chapters every day, and never to be intermitted unless by some overruling necessity." On the 61st anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, he proclaimed, "What is it that, next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that, in the chain of human events, the birthday of this nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth, that it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity, and gave the world the first irrevocable pledge of fulfillment of the prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of the Savior and predicted by the greatest of the Hebrew prophets 600 years before?" Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States of America, 1829 to 1837. He stated in his reference to the Bible, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." End of quote. When President Lincoln was inaugurated, he placed his hand on Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Matthew 18:7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Along with Revelation 16:7, "And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And then he said, "America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves." End of quote. The United States has fallen far from the tree, but there still remains a righteous root. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." One day it is certain that America will totally reject the God of its creation, for all the nations of the earth will rise up to battle against the seed of Abraham in the battle of Armageddon. If we are at that point, and we may very well be, then no matter of prayer and supplication will stay the day of God's judgment. But be of good cheer, saints, for if this is the case, prepare for departure. Jesus Christ is returning for the born again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Because of the Christ roots of this country, God's blessings have been abundant, but things are changing. God and His Christ are no longer welcome in public discourse. The U.S., once the world's wealthiest nation, is now the world's greatest debtor nation. In the past 3 years, U.S. citizens lost 39% of their wealth. The nation's workforce is riddled with drug and alcohol issues, and it becomes ever less literate. The handwriting is on the wall. It's high time that we turn back. God said, Isaiah 26, 1 and 2, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." God said, Isaiah 26, 9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." God said, Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." Man said, "America is not a Christian nation." Now you have the record.